Ezekiel 44, let's begin reading at verse number 7. We'll read 7, 8, and 9 together, at the beginning of verse 7. In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when ye offered my bread and fat and with blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And ye have not kept the charge of my holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary as any stranger that is among the children of Israel. Alright, so the verse number 7, who alone could in the Old Testament enter into God's sanctuary? What kind of people? Alright, in the very sanctuary, even in their sanctuary for worship, they had to be what? Religious belief. Pardon me?
In the
holy place? Even into his sanctuary of any kind. In other words, even enter into the temple and worship. Just the Israelites, that's right, just the Israelites.
The proselytes
probably could, but no uncircumcised, no ones that's Gentiles could even enter into the sanctuary of the Lord or even into this holy temple. And then what had been wrong in verse 7 that people were allowed? What type of people did they allow in these establishments?
Strangers,
which would be non-Jews. What does it mean, uncircumcised in heart and in flesh? All right. You may have circumcision in the flesh, you're a Jew in the flesh, but what does it mean, not in heart? What does that mean?
You don't really believe it.
All right, don't really believe it. Just the fact of sacrificing the Old Testament, does that make you look forward to Calvary necessarily?
No.
You had to have faith in the promised Messiah, and this is what they weren't doing. It was just worthless. It was just sacrificing for no purpose. Come on.
Well, would God accept the sacrifice that wasn't from the heart? I thought the whole sacrificing stuff was supposed to be from the heart.
It's supposed to be, but you see...
Could you sacrifice a book and all that stuff and not mean it?
Well, if the people thought that would get them closer to the Lord or closer to heaven, they do it. Just like people today, they give money and all kinds of things, they're thinking that's going to get them to heaven. It's no avail if it's not from the right heart. Yes, Danny? Oh, Anna?
Well, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
That's right, the knowledge of God, the heart attitude is very important. Just like the cross of Calvary, just because someone goes to church, does that make them saved?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't at all. Even a Bible believing church. What must happen in order to make them saved?
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord, and they have to. Before they trust the Lord, they have to recognize and call it repentance, call it change of mind, call it whatever, that they're sinners and have a need. That Christ can save them, that he's someone who can deliver them, they must trust that Savior and accept him and be born again.
My thought was, would that sacrifice be received? Because God can read the heart. Priests can read the heart, but would it be received?
Wouldn't be received by God. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, it says very clearly, I've had enough of your sacrifices, because they weren't from the heart. Keep your place here and look at Isaiah chapter 1. Sinful nation, it says. Verse 4, 1-4. People laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. You've forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the whole out of Israel into anger, gone backwards. And in that same area, he says, to what purpose? Verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings and rams, the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, of lambs, or of he goats. In other words, they weren't coming. In fact, he says in verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. New moons is heaven. Your new moon. So you see, when you spread forth your hands, it's just not insincerity. It's insincerity instead of sincerity. And so God, he can't stand it anymore. He just tells it like it is. And I'm sure the Lord can't stand hypocritical worship in churches. Churches that don't believe anything, just come here just to have somebody look at your clothes or your hat or whatever, and just go just to go, see? So the Lord looks at the heart, and he wants circumcision of the heart, not of the head only. Right, then in verse number 8, what have these leaders not done? In verse 8? That kept the tribes at home. In other words, they just let them loose and it's not accounted for. Keep your threat for yourselves. And then what is the law as far as people coming into the sanctuary in verse 9? Again, it's similar to what we saw in verse 7.
Stranger or uncircumcised.
Okay. Or uncircumcised flesh. See, so the stranger would not be circumcised, but he could come. Yes, sir.
In the book of Leviticus, in the early chapters, it talks about them sitting in regards to the keeping the holy things. I wasn't clear to me if it was in reference to the. It seems like there may have been. It may have been. Well, on the one hand, it was probably the people who were making the offering, but then there were commands also for the priests, and it was very detailed, and to be able to actually accomplish all of that without faith, that would be impossible.
Yes, wouldn't be received.
It was very specific, mm-hmm. And you would become, just like a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. And the priests had to have perfection in their bodies. They couldn't have any missing members or whatever. They had to be. Then the heart had to be right, but the heart wasn't, because the Lord schools them right here in this chapter. So they're not kept.
Phineas,
those
two were killed.
Phineas and Hophni.
Hophni and Phineas. The hearts weren't right.
That's right. They weren't. They offered strange fire, didn't they? This is the book of Numbers. I think it's Numbers, yeah. Chapter 5, I think. So
that was with Eli.
Nadab and Abihu.
Nadab.
Yeah, but strange fire. And Eliezer and Ithamar are the other two sons of Aaron, remember?
Yeah, I thought Nadab and Abihu were with Aaron.
That's right, sons of Aaron. They offered strange fire.
Hophni and Phinehas was Eli.
Oh, yes. Oh, you're right. Nadab and Abihu. I got the two brothers mixed. And Nadab and Abihu were the ones that were Aaron's, and then Eleazar and Ithamar were the ones that survived and were not killed and slain.
But we've been without you.
That's right, Nadab and Abihu.
Great.
All right. And so they'll end up in the sanctuary or any stranger. All right, let's read verse number 10, 11, and 12 together. And the Levites that are gone away from far from me, when Israel went astray, when they went astray away from after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge of the eighth of the house, and ministering into the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people. They shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols, caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. All right, who's he talking about in verse number 10? The Levites. Who were the Levites? All right, how many tribes did Jacob have, sons?
12.
All right, these Levites were one of the 12. And from the Levites came whom?
Aaron.
And he was what?
He was
high priest, and then all the sons were all the priests. So from the Levites came the priests. And the Levites, what was true of the Levites in verse 10?
They've gone astray.
And after their idols. And they shall bear their iniquity. What does that mean?
They'll
be held accountable, won't they? And they led the people astray, their leaders. Then in verse 11, this first word, yet. What will God still be able to use them for?
Minister
of the sanctuary, in charge of the gates.
And
even though they let people astray, yet the Lord is going to be letting them go ahead in that area. And then in verse 12, there's another word that begins that phrase, because. Yeah, yet and because.
But they were slaying all the offerings and everything.
All right. These leaders, what have they done? Ministered unto them, that is the people, before their idols. What was that about?
Is this in the future?
No, this was the past sins that they had. During Ezekiel's time.
They did something before the idol to cause the whole house of Israel to fall in iniquity.
That's right. In other words, they ministered, used idols to minister.
Yeah.
you know, worship idols instead of worship the Lord. That's what he's saying. Let them my hand against them. Why was God against the Levites here?
Because of that, then they were
allowed to serve. Because they ministered unto him before the idols, caused them to fall in iniquity. I lifted my hand against them. But the minister of the saints were having charge of the gates. So they could go to the outer periphery of things, the gates of the house, but not in the inner sanctuary, apparently. Because it says in verse 13, let's read 13 and 14. Now notice, God's against them. Is God being negative here? Yes, he is. Is it necessary for us to be negative against some things?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing we should be against in our lives and anywhere else?
Sin.
Yeah. And he's against them. I tell you, when God's against you, you better be careful. When the Lord's against you, you're in serious trouble. These Levites are in trouble. Let's read 13, 14, and 15 again. They shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things, in the most holy place, for they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make the keepers of the charge of the house and all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that keep the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. They shall bring stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. 5 verse 13, what will the Levites not be able to do?
Enter into the most holy place, not the day of atonement.
All right, not in the day of the, do the office of a priest unto me. And now, what is the difference between... What is the difference between the duties of a Levite and the duties of a priest? All right. Only the priests could come close to the Lord into a sanctuary. Levites could, they could handle, whenever the tabernacle moved, the Levites had a certain job to carry certain things and move 40 times in 40 years or so, plus, but they couldn't be priests. They couldn't enter in the holy place or the holy of holies to minister either where the lamp was or where the bread was to change it. Only the priests could enter into the holy place, and certainly not the holy of holies, which is only the Aaron once a year, as in Leviticus 16. Just keepers of the house, can't come near me. Now there's a big battle. You remember the battle between some of the Levites that wanted to be priests? It was named Korah and his band. Korah and his band in the book of Numbers. And they said, Moses, you take too much upon you. Why can't we do just what you try to lead us? And why can't we be like a priest? So what did God do to those people that wanted to be like that, Korah?
Earth and
saw them up. That's right. Korah and his band opened up the earth, and there were 250 leaders that brought censers in their hands, and with those, God burned them with fire. He just slew them with fire. A terrible, terrible thing. And finally, how did God show the Israelites who was going to be a priest, and especially the high priest, and who was not going to be a priest? What did he do? He said, every one of you, all 12 tribes, take a rod, bring it before the Lord, and what was the one that What was the way God picked priests? The ones who blossomed, but almond, nuts, or whatever fruits. And that's what Aaron's rod did by it. So he's the only one, and he and his sons would be priests. And all these other Levites, they can't do the things that God wanted to do. You know, many times there's a battle in churches between deacons and pastors. Deacons and pastors. And there's deacon-run churches, and there's pastor-run churches. It's a battle. And you know, my church in Newton, Massachusetts, one of the battles we had, I preached one time on the distinction between the Levites and the priests. And I realized the deacons and pastors aren't priests and Levites, that's nothing. But I mean, the general idea is there are certain things that the Levites were to do, and God wanted them to do. There's certain things the priests could do, and that's what God wanted them to do. You don't mix the two. And just like there's certain things that deacons should do in the local church, and certain things pastors should do. You don't mix them, they're different. And so, anyway, but they couldn't do the inside of the tabernacle. In verse 14, the keepers of the tribes of the service, the priests keep the tribes, verse 15, and the priests, the sons of Zadok, are the ones that come to the sanctuary, to come near to me to minister. And what did they have to offer in verse 15? Fat and the blood. So there's fat and the blood they offered. And then let's read verse number 16.
I have a question.
Yes, okay.
See, that they weren't supposed to do, and the sons of Aaron had things to do. I thought some of this was punishment because they were dealing with idols, but the punishment is a usual thing that they were allowed to do or allowed not to do.
Well,
it doesn't seem like it's a punishment.
Well,
to
verse,
that usual
well in verse 11, this the charge of the gates of the house, ministry to the house. They'll slay the burnt offering, but they can't take those offerings in and apply the blood. Only the priest can do that.
But they never could anyhow.
I realize. But
I mean, there's supposed to be a punishment here. I don't understand it.
Well.
Am I being too...
Well, gates of the house. You know, they're way down yonder where the gates are. Northern gate, southern gate, east. Not anywhere near the temple. See, they're out of the outer periphery of the whole temple.
This is temple.
This is probably the temple. Probably the temple, which is similar to the gates, because this would be after the temple had been built. So that's the punishment. Then the sons of Zadok, the only ones that could really offer and come close to the Lord. Let's read verse number 16, 17, and 18 together. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me. They shall keep my charge. It shall come to pass that when they enter into the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. All right, who in verse 16 enters into God's holy of holy sanctuary?
The priest.
The priest himself. The priest can go into the sanctuary, into the holy place, trim the lamps every day, and change the showbread. They can come in there, only priests. Then in the holy of holies, once a year, only the high priest can enter that. So they enter and keep my charge. And then what do they do about their clothes in verse 17 when they enter into God's place? Holy place. Okay, just regular street clothes or special garments?
Special
garments. Linen, no wool. God separates linen from wool.
We're supposed to perspire, I guess.
That's right. In verse number 18, nothing that causes them to sweat. No perspiration. Even the heat of the day, they want to be very careful. What's going to be on their heads in verse 18?
Mitre.
All right. Well, what does it say in verse 18? Linen bonnets. That's right. Just the priest. And linen breeches. Yeah, they're bonnet people. And let's read verse 19, 20, and 20. Yes, huh?
What was the reason of no sweat? They just didn't, the Lord didn't want them to get dirty, or?
I suppose, so that worked too hard.
Perfectly clean?
I think cleanliness and so on, so they'd have to, they had the labor where they washed their hands and their feet as they entered into the plate of the temple of the Lord, but they didn't want any perspiration, which would be probably smelling and different things. They just didn't want to. So that's why they didn't want the wool.
Okay.
But linen, apparently linen is less than wool as far as the warmth. Now let's read verse number 19, 20, and 21 again. And when they go forth into the outer court, even into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister, and lay them in the holy chambers. They shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when he entered into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but that which shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. Find verse number 19. What do they do when they go forth out of the inner court with their clothes? That's right, and they put their street clothes, you might say, the non-holy clothes, their ordinary garments, and leave the holy garments separate, put on other garments. And then in verse number...
What if anybody washes those linen garments?
I suppose, I would hope that they would.
If they have a child, they do.
I'm sure they would, yes.
It says in the book of Leviticus that when they get blood on them, during one of the offerings, it's supposed to be washed.
They wash with water and clean the thing.
Well, so, who did that?
Well, I suppose the priest did their own and the Levites did their own.
I hope the women didn't have to do that.
Well, maybe their wives, the priest's wives, possibly. Doesn't say, so we can't really speculate. But in verse number 20, what other requirements for these priests?
They don't ever shave their heads.
They don't? They don't? All right, they can't shave their heads. So these people ran around all over the country on TV and all the other places shaving their heads. Some people don't have any hair, that's right, but the priests were not to shave their heads. What else were they not to do?
Their hair was
not to grow long, just pull their head. In other words, trim it, but not grow real long like the hippies and the various other people see.
They trim, clip, cut.
That's what it says. That's right, pull. You trim and cut. That's it. And then what else requirement? Neither do what else, verse 21?
Nor drink wine.
Nor drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Why was that a requirement that they should not do? What priest got into trouble drinking wine, apparently? Anna got the name of him. Anna Nate Abbott of Abihu. They went into the Holy Book and ministered, and they, right after they went into the ministry, God slew them. Because they shouldn't be in there. They offered strange fire, strange incense. And the very next verse after that, he said, the priest should not drink wine. So we assume that they were probably drunken, went in there, didn't know what they were doing. That's what we assume. So here's repeated, they shall not drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Even the grape juice. Remember the grape juice, the fruit of the vine. That's called grape juice, the fruit of the vine. That's what they call wine. Sometimes it's fermented, sometimes it's not. But remember, even the Nazarites should not drink and eat anything that comes of the vine. Raisins, grapes, whatever. Or grape juice. There's something about that that they shouldn't eat. So they should not drink. What about in verse 22, what about they do with their wives for priests?
Anna, go ahead.
Anna, go ahead. You had a question. What?
Why
what did they do with their wives?
Well,
they
do
for their wives? What do they do for their wives in verse 22? Priests.
Tell us where they find them.
Right, what?
Just young unmarried women, unless they're widows who were widows of who used to be married to priests.
Married to priests. So don't take away the widow or her that's put away. No divorce. Don't marry anybody that's put away or divorced. All right, let's read verse 23, 4, and 5.
That's the Israelites, too.
That's the Israelites, all right. 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge, and according to my judgments, they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, they shall hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall come in no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother, or for son or for daughter, or brother or for sister that has no husband, they may defile themselves. Verse 23, I think, is a tremendous verse on biblical separation. What were the priests to teach the people?
Between the holy and the profane.
Between the holy and the profane. And to discern between clean and unclean. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:14 is so important. And 6:17. Touch not the unclean thing. See, it's to separate and show the difference between that which is holy and profane. Very important in all the considerations even today. Preachers and people are not taught, and pastors are not taught the difference. What are they supposed to do as far as their way of life in verse 24, their normal duties, day by day, these priests? Verse 24.
Keep the laws.
All right. They're to stand in judgment and judge it according to my judgment. In other words, when everybody has any problems, they judge according to the law of Moses. Yes, Anna?
But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. So he talked about the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine, see? And that's what exactly why we use the fruit of the vine in our communion service and not intoxicating wine or fermented wine, yes?
My point was that Christ took the position of high priest, like it says in Hebrews. So he wasn't going to have any fruit of the vine and the priest won't be able to have any fruit of the vine.
Until the millennial reign of Christ in the kingdom. That's correct. Alright, so they take the judgment, the stand of judgment in verse 24. And what about the dead people?
Just relatives.
Just relatives. Can they touch them or have anything to do with burying them? But for no one else, no dead person.
The priest can't.
Can't help any dead person to touch them,
so
except
they
their
like
father and mother.
Pastor. They weren't like a pastor then, I guess.
No, they can't touch animals. It's unclean. They claim that means verse 23. And that unclean carcass is unclean at that time.
When they touch anything unclean, if they would eat of one of the sacrifices that was offered, then that sacrifice would be an abomination to the person that was actually offering the sacrifice, which had nothing to do with the priest's spiritual condition, would be affected by it.
That's right. In fact, in our reading this morning and yesterday, we talked about tertiary separation. Here somebody touches a dead body. The dead body is unclean. When he touches it, he's unclean. Anything he touches becomes unclean. See, it passes down uncleanness, and that's why this verse is so important. Teach the people the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the profane. So it can't come to any dead body except for a close relative, and so on. Yes, huh?
Well, you mean you could be in the same room with the dead body, but as long as you touch it.
You can't touch it, yeah, that's right.
I thought they weren't supposed to be near it or anything.
Well, it says, come at no dead body. In other words, don't come even close to a dead body to defile himself. I suppose you have to touch it to be unclean, but not even in the area, see? They're not even close.
You know, like a pastor, a lot of these people were like pastors, like using a pastor. And when someone dies, they didn't have a service or anything.
Well, they can't touch him and take him home, grab him. You see, they can't minister. They can't touch that dead body. But there's no requirement in the New Testament for pastors that they can't have funerals and services for dead people. That's not
I'm thinking of this Old Testament time.
Well, they can't embalm them. They can't.
I mean,
they do embalm them.
I don't know about the body, but I mean the comforting, like when you go.
Well, that's nothing to do with comfort. No, it's just if you can't touch that dead body, if you have anything to do with it, except brother or sister close to him, they can deal with that. Can't they?
Well, it all has to do with the picture of Christ and God's holiness and the whole idea that God can't tolerate the sin. I mean, so it's more of a picture than, I mean, it's not something that transfers to the New Testament.
No, it's a picture of the Old Testament. The holiness of God, that's right. But then in verse 26, 7, and 8, let's read those verses. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith the Lord. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And he shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. Right? In verse number 26, after he's cleansed. How is he cleansed? Sacrifice. It's 7 days. He reckons 7 days. And then in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, what does he have to bring with him?
Sacrifice.
Offer a sin offering unto the Lord. Now notice in verse 28, do the Levites and the priests have any land possessions?
No.
No? He says, I am their inheritance. He shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. All the other tribes had possessions. Remember, one of the tribes was divided in half. Who was that? Ephraim and Manasseh came from Joseph. That's right. He divided in half. He had the double. That's right. Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph. Then Manasseh was split half north and half south. See, so there was a half tribe of Manasseh, but Manasseh was a full tribe, very small tribe. Yeah, Anna. No, just half tribe of Manasseh, see. So some, like there was that, some of them were on the eastern side, some on the western side. And so, there are two tribes, and so Levites didn't have anything. So you still have 12 that gained inheritance in land because the split up between Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So Ephraim and Manasseh and 10 other tribes, not the Levites, and they were portioned in the land, certain places they're supposed to have for their own. Let's read verse 29 to the end, please. They shall eat the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the firstfruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of their oblations shall be the priest. He shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest on thy house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself, or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. Alright, so in verse number 29, they could eat the meat offering and the sin offering. That was the food for the priest. Now, Tammy asked me before the beginning of the class, we had, what's a heave offering? The heave shoulder and the wave breast were also that portion of the animals that were given to the priest. And what else did they have in verse number 30? What does it mean, the first of all the first fruits? What does that mean? In other words, when you have the crops that come into your land, first of you, in every oblation of all sorts, that shall be the priest. You get the first of your dough. And so the first of everything was first fruits. That's where we get the tithe, the 10% that we went to the priest. And then the priests were to tithe the tithe. The tenth of what they got were to be given back to the Lord also. So they received the 10%, and then they gave 10% to the Lord as well. Tithe of the tithe to the priest. First fruits early. So they had to have, the Israelites didn't do that, so the priests didn't have this food and everything like God intended. Now, what about verse 31? What else about the priest's diet? What should they not eat?
Dead thing
or torn. What is that called sometimes in a jargon fashion?
Cannibalism.
Cannibalism. Well,
a scavenger.
Scavenger. All right, what else?
Roadkill.
That's it, Anna. Roadkill. See, she's got that jargon, right? They can't eat anything that's dead. And, you know, if you see the animal dead, they don't pick them up and eat them. They're priests. In fact, it's like a good ready to eat the diet of itself. Why is that not clean? It's dirty, you don't know what kind of disease.
You don't know when it died.
When it died? I
think about somebody, though, that did take a deer because they knew it was freshly killed.
Yeah. But so anyhow, so we're at the end of this, but do you have any other comments or questions before we...
Well, it didn't die of itself.
It didn't die of itself, that's true. See, it was killed by a car. But you see, also, or torn. See, when it's roadkill, you got certainly great tears on that thing.
Right.
See, it wouldn't be whole, it wouldn't be... Right.
Oh,
so,
I saw this 2 nights ago when I was sick. I watched all these different things. A whole pride of lions got a giraffe. Right. It's so sad. He kicked it away from the way, but after a while, he couldn't
do it.
They got him, and they got him right in the neck.
Yeah.
And the father lion got it and just held on to him while they were all...
How could he jump up so high?
I don't know. They jump. You should see. They jump on them.
Pull them down low, huh?
I don't know.
Because the draft is real high. But...
I know. They jump on him, and once they get him succumbed, he falls down, and then they get his...
No, they get the neck.
They get his neck.
And you know how to kill them.
I mean, talking about roadkill was so sad.
I'm sure it is. They have to eat something.
He didn't run the giraffe, didn't run away. He kicks, and usually, a lot of times he get away, he kicks.
How many giraffes were in the group?
This was one giraffe, all by himself.
It's roadkill. I asked for it. Any other comments or questions?
It was horrible.
All right. So the difference between the clean and the unclean, and the things that they had to do, the priests, the leaders, and they have to lead the people, just like today. Every Christian should be a golden opportunity to have people to follow us, every one of us. Save people should be a light unto the world. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we've looked at tonight. We thank you that thou wants us to be putting difference between clean and unclean, holy and profane. Help us, Lord, to keep ourselves as holy as possible, so we may not touch the unclean thing. We may be, that thou mayest be a father unto us, a real father. And we may be thy real sons and daughters. Thou canst use us to thy glory. And we said to say that these priests and these Levites did not follow what thou didst for them. That help us to follow thee, not simply to talk about it, but to live to please thee and the Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for those that are listening and those that are here. other means as well, and guide us and direct us on the Lord's Day. Continue to help those that are sick and in need of healing and health, especially Joy Wallnoffer and Gadali Berry, as they're in serious need. And Tammy's mom, perhaps she's coming back home tomorrow or the next day. Continue to minister to her needs for spiritual life as well as for her body. Guide us and direct us as we leave, and bring us back safely on the Lord's Day, that we may be pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.